Gosh, I didn't expect so many people. I was hoping they wouldn't use that photo of, you know, for my student card. But I guess I'd have to change the original. So I'd been mulling about the question of home these past couple of months. Just this past spring, I had been looking forward so much to going home. Home for me is Singapore. I wasn't born there, but that's where I grew up. I did all my education there. That's where family and friends are. That's where my primary Christian community is. Home is where our apartment is. It's empty right now because we couldn't find a suitable tenant. But many of our worldly goods are there, suitably insured. So that is where we go for as long as we can in summer, spend our time with family and friends. We return to the familiar. But this summer, I didn't feel at home when I was at home. We've been at Asbury here for 2 years now. This is our third year, this fall. We came to study something of a sabbatical. And it's taken us about 2 years to feel like we finally settled with friends and being part of the community. So we found a rhythm of doing schoolwork. Although now I'm actually done with classes, I'm just working on my dissertation. But Wilmore isn't home. We came here for a season, we came for a purpose, and when we were done, we're going to go home. I've grown to appreciate the word season, largely because Singapore's in the tropics and there are no discernible seasons. There's, you know, like the rainy season is usually in November, but we had a lot of rain this June and July when we were home. We import most of our food, so we don't appreciate the different foods that come with the different seasons. We're an urban setting, so we don't appreciate planting or harvesting. So I've grown to like this word, season. Coming here then has taught me about the seasons in nature and also the seasons in life. So now I can say that this is our season for being here for study and reflection and being far from family and home. So during this season, I will live and move and have my being here. And it is the right time for us. This is the right season for our lives. So I feel that for many reasons, it's a good time to be here. And season has been a good word for me. But it still doesn't answer the restlessness that I feel inside. So I was drawn to this Song of Ascents, Psalms 120 to 134. And I wanted to see whether these could help me in my thinking. Why these psalms? Because this is what the pilgrims sang as they made their way to Jerusalem for their annual pilgrimage. So I thought they may have something to say to me as a pilgrim of life. Now, there are various theories about what is the controlling image of these 14, 15 psalms. As we read, I think we can see that they start at Psalm 120 with someone feeling very far from Jerusalem and end in Psalm 134 with lots of praise, probably because the pilgrim has arrived. I won't be going through all the psalms, I'll just be reading three or four and pick out those parts of these psalms which have resonated with me about being a pilgrim, about looking for home. Let's start with Psalm 120. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The pilgrim principle. Missiologist Andrew Wall said that there are two aspects of the gospel which need to be held in tension: the pilgrim principle and the indigenizing principle. Now, we are familiar with the indigenizing principle. We know that it's good missions practice to indigenize, to put the gospel in forms and structures and symbols which are familiar to the local culture so that people can relate with the gospel. So, for example, if we're trying to reach young people, we will put the gospel in language and forms that are familiar with them so that they can connect with the message. But then there's also the pilgrim principle. And what Walt is saying here is that this world is not our home. We are pilgrims looking for a city whose architect and builder is God. Our society then does not and will not accept the full message of the gospel. The gospel will never be quite comfortable with all aspects of our culture. So in our ministry with young people, we don't condone it if they want to live a life of free sex or drugs, because that's against scripture. So we need to hold these two principles, the principle of indigenizing and the pilgrim principle. We need to hold these two in tension. Often I think we're better at indigenizing than at being pilgrims. But sometimes I think we do indigenizing too well. Pilgrims must be in tension with those around them. Psalms 120. Woe to me that I live in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a person of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Do we realize the tension between ourselves and the people that we live with? To be pilgrims means that we question the prevailing assumptions in culture. But the pilgrim principle also unites us because we have all so much in common. Because of the influence of past missionaries, we may come from different parts of the world, but we have the same repertoire of hymns. For our Holy Communion, most of us would use bread and juice or bread and wine. So the pilgrim principle also unites us as Christians. Now, international students especially live in this tension. We compare with the way things are back home, and this place is found wanting. It's too cold. People are unfriendly. Nobody knows that I was a leader back home. Nobody knows that I fought with the devil. I've converted dozens. I don't like this place. But there are others who say, wow, this is a wonderful place. People here are so rich. They have such nice houses. You've all got nice cars. There's the latest technology. Home is so backward. It's so poor. Everything here is fantastic. We all need to be much more critical of the way we live our lives, whether it's here or back home. A question that arises for all of us, I think, is to what extent do we make friends? To what extent do we take part in our temporary home? If I'm only going to be here for 3 to 4 years, why should I bother making friends? Why should I bother to build community since I know in a short time I'm going to move on and I won't even see you guys anymore? Why don't I just work hard, get my degree, and get out of here? And there are people like that. So I realize that as a pilgrim, I'm making these decisions all the time, whether or not I want to be indigenizing, getting involved, planting roots, or whether I want to be a pilgrim, being different from here and live as I would live in Singapore. So for example, I cook a lot of our own foods because that's familiar and comforting. But I'm beginning to appreciate the foods that you have here, like squashes. I never knew that there were, 15 different kinds of squashes. I've decided to make friends. I've decided I will be involved in this community because this is my home for this season. I've done different things, like putting together PowerPoint presentations, which I've never done before. Back home, I was mentoring a number of young women, but here, I've appreciated so much having older sisters in Christ who walk the road with me. So I realize that these have been semi-conscious decisions. Will I indigenize or will I be a pilgrim? Will I indigenize? Will I be a pilgrim? And these questions, I think, need to be asked constantly. Secondly, pilgrims look forward to a time and place in the future, Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Psalm 123, verses 1 and 2. I lift my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of the slave look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of the maid look to the hand of a mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. So the psalmist looks away from himself to the hills, these awesome physical symbols of God's steadfastness. The pilgrim looks to the Lord who is her help. Slaves look to the hands of their mistress. So we, like pilgrims, look forward to another time and place. We look forward to a different time, whether it's at the end of this semester so that we can go home for Christmas, or to a time when we graduate and move on from this place to a place of full-time Christian service. Ultimately, I hope we are really looking forward to the kingdom of God on earth. We are all looking forward to a time and place when the Lord's reign will be fully manifest on earth, and we will be worshiping God in the New Jerusalem, which will come down from heaven, as the Apostle John tells us. So an essential part of being a pilgrim is looking forward, that this present place is not where we're settling. This means that we know that the future will determine to a large extent what we do in the present. So there are some things in the here and now which are transient, and our attitudes should reflect that. No one has ever asked me what grades I got or what papers I did after my MDiv. They looked at me, and my ability was based on who I was, on how I related with them, on what I knew. My papers and exams did have bearing, but it came out in such a different way. So now I'm much more conscious of my formation as a person, and not whether or not I've aced a subject. Pilgrims look forward to another time and another place, trusting in the Maker of heaven and earth. He is the Lord who is our God. He is our help. Thirdly, pilgrims travel light. By definition, pilgrims must travel light. Pilgrims are moving from one place to another, whether by foot in days of old or by plane today. But there's always a limit to how much we can carry. What can we bring from place to place? One big question that new international students ask is, what is it like here? What can we get here? What should we bring with us? So coming here has forced us to make decisions about what do we need to bring from home. And once we get here, the question is, do we buy something? If we do, do we leave it here, or are we going to ship it back home? So we've got to ask questions, which of our things, which of our stuff is important to us? And what can we do without? Back to food, since we eat at home all the time, so we brought a lot of our own spices so that we can eat our own local food. Books are a big part of our lives now. And because I'm researching on the Singapore situation, so I need books from back home. But it gets a little confusing because I was sure I had a book here. When I got here, it wasn't here, so I had to get somebody from there to bring it here. So all the things that we feel like we need to have with us. I think it'll be interesting to see what we have in our suitcases when we travel. Just my observations in airports. Americans have a lot of luggage. I don't know what's inside, but they sure have a lot of luggage. But pilgrims must travel light. And it's a necessary and important part of the pilgrim principle. For being a pilgrim presumes that we're constantly traveling and we're constantly on the move. Pilgrims cannot carry everything in the kitchen sink. We cannot be burdened with a lot of stuff. But pilgrims pick up lovely souvenirs. We pick up memories. We make friends. And those transform us. And we bring that with us. As a pilgrim traveling, we find that the one great universalizing principle is the Holy Communion. All around the world, we do this sacrament that the Lord has given to us. Last spring, I remember feeling terribly homesick. I had gone without a break since fall. I did 13 hours in fall. I did a JTEM class. I did major exams, no break, straight into spring semester, another 13 hours. I was drained. I was tired. I was cold and homesick. And I couldn't go anywhere because there's just so much work to do. And then one Sunday, I was just feeling so lousy and so homesick. It was Communion Sunday. And I took the elements. I was given the elements. And I heard these words. This is my body. This is my blood. Words which I had heard countless times. Words which I've said myself. This is my body. This is my blood. And as I took the bread and the juice, remembering how it was done in my home church, how it had been done for so long, I realized that in some sense, that was home. So as we come to communion today, we're going through different stages and seasons. Many of us are tired. This is just the point in the semester. There's so much work looming. We've been at this for so long, and the break seems so far away. So I pray that you will find a homely place here in the communion. I pray that as pilgrims together, we will be strong in our journey. Let me read Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Amen.